show, beautiful people. It is One Nation with Trills and Wills. I missed you, buddy. I was roasting in Las Vegas.
Were you?
Was your studio nice and air conditioned?
It was.
Great.
I was cold. I had goosebumps. But you said you were roasting?
I was roasting.
Every time I saw you, you had like an umbrella. You looked like you were in the shade.
By the way, I still burnt underneath that
did
umbrella.
You?
That the desert sun is not to be messed with. We're going to reflect back on CONCACAF Nations League. We're going to look ahead to Gold Cup. But our producer here he's throwing us a curveball.
I love it.
We have this One Nation box of surprises.
Which, it sounds elegant, but it's really just
a box
he found.
He plopped it in front of us and was like, all right, just, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm not going to prepare you as the hosts of this show to know what it is that you're talking about off the top of the show. Just, you know, that's why it's called the box of surprises. Do
which,
the honors.
Which I'm okay with, but I think your OCD and being in control, I think that bothered you more
than
anything.
I hate this more than anything.
What's in the box?
Andy, what's don't do in surprises. The box? This is the worst box ever. What does it say?
Oh, no. You need to read it.
Oh, wait, what is this? What is this?
You need to read it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I destroyed you, bro. Okay.
Bro.
This is a reminder.
So sad.
Everyone. So not only did I whoop your behind in Canadian Championship trivia, remember we did that?
Yeah, destroyed me. That one I can give
but
you.
But heading into the CONCACAF Nations League Final Four, before I went to Vegas, we pulled names from a hat. Listen, it was pure luck as well. But my strategy was, because you could put a name back if you needed to. I was like, no, whatever names I pull out, that's going to be my team. So we pulled names out of the box. And basically, those players were my players, my five guys. And whoever got, you know, goals and assists, the most goals and assists, won. I only had like two guys who didn't pick up points, but I picked up a total of 6 points. Thank you, Jonathan David. Thank you, Pulisic. Thank you, Gio Reyna. So I ended up
like,
picking up 6 points. Your guys, zeros across the board. That's what you call goose eggs across the board.
So what's my forfeit? You won. What's my forfeit? Anyways, because that's what it says at the bottom. Look, Kyle Aaron, buddy, you let me down. Because I was expecting you to come clutch in that final, score a goal.
But
you let me down.
Chicken dinner.
So what's my forfeit?
Listen, we'll figure something out. But I am now 2-0 in major competitions against you.
You feel good, eh?
I'm feeling
You're so
good.
Nervous when the box came out. As soon as it said you won, you read it like it was a scroll. I said, let me look at this.
Get the trumpets out. Bum, ba, da, ba.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for that, Ollie.
The Queen has something to announce. We have another announcement to make. All right. Here we go. Earlier today, Toronto FC announced the firing of Bob Bradley. This is something we have been talking about for some time because it hasn't been the best of seasons for Toronto FC. 3-10-7 this year. Under Bob Bradley's tenure in all competitions, 14-26-19, Jordo. We wondered if this day would come, just simply because of the record and also because of, you know, recent news reportings that players were not happy with how he was coaching them. Federico Bernardeschi, as we know, has been the most vocal of players in saying that he felt like they weren't prepared, that they didn't have tactics that could set them up for success. So now he has been relieved of his duties. How much do you think he should shoulder the blame for what's happened to TFC?
I think he should shoulder a lot of it. I can't say all of it because I think how a club is run is also higher up. It's not just a coach. But I think the part that he needs to shoulder is, I think he lost the dressing room. And I think there are so many details that go into that in terms of squad selection, how you're with them day to day, how you treat certain situations. We talked about Bernardeschi a few weeks ago. I think that in that regard, if he was going to look back on things, he would have wanted done better. I think that's it. If you lose the dressing room, you lose the guys, you lose the team inevitably. And then it's just an uphill battle from there. How do you feel about it?
I've always said the head coach is an ultimate salesman. And you're right. The players have to continue buying what it is that you're selling in order for you to be successful. And the second they stop buying it, that's it. You're done. Players will always ultimately decide what happens with a coach. And I think if you look back, there are so many things you can say, all right, he did that well. And then, of course, there are other things you can turn back and say, well, no, that was not good at all. But I know a lot of people are going to obviously point to the Italians because the Italians, they're making a lot of money. And they are superstars, and they do need to be managed. And we had Josh Cloke on and he wrote that article, of course, with a couple other people from The Athletic, and it just went and described a difficult situation, I think, in trying to make the Italians happy. But I will say this, because a lot of people right now, I'm reading some comments and they say, you know, of course you had to get rid of Bob because he ended up benching, you know, Bernadeschi, you know, for speaking out against him. And, you know, how could you do that? They won that game.
Yeah.
So you can sit here and say that wasn't the right move. No, it was actually the right move.
In that moment.
In that moment, it was the right move because TFC responded and they came out with the win. And in fact, they went on a bit of an unbeaten streak as well, even though they brought him in the next game. I wonder, you know, they're coming off a loss, New England Revolution. Bernadeschi came off at halftime. He wasn't performing again in that first half. So there's a lot of things I think that you could look at Bob and go, he was put between a rock and a hard place. And to your point, a lot of decisions, personnel decisions have been made by Bill Manning. He brought players on board. Bob brought players on board too.
Yes.
So you can make the argument that they both just didn't bring in the right players to mesh. You've spent a lot of money on the Italians to the point now where you probably can't keep Richie Larea. Bob was dealt a bad hand with a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries. And this team is built on national team players, which is great, but now you're losing them during Nations League, Gold Cup, right? These guys are now gone from your lineup. So there's so many things you can look at and say worked against him, he did to himself. Worked against him, he did to himself.
For sure. This team was imbalanced from the beginning of the season. We've said this. It's obvious. It's glaring. If you're looking at other teams in the MLS or just in teams in general in the modern day, you need that balance of like vets that could still go, but like young players that are coming up and emerging. What's going on at TFC, the balance is completely off. Then I think as a manager, yeah, you're a salesman, but you're also the motivator. Every day on the road, at home, after a loss, when there's a tough spell, you have to be able to get guys to play and be their best self. And you can see for a long time with TFC that hasn't been the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. The players now, and in particular, again, I'm just going to say Bernadeschi because he was the most vocal. He was the catalyst behind everyone talking about this and then, you know, the article coming out with The Athletic. This is where, you know, as a player, if you're going to say the coach is the reason why we're not performing, well, now the coach is gone. You better perform. No, if you're saying that the coach is the reason why you weren't performing, Agreed. The coach is now gone. If you continue to not perform, this is a smart fan base. They're going to start putting two and two together. And I will speak to my fellow Italian fan base. Italians will defend Italians to the death. And there are a lot of Italians out there who did not like Bob Bradley because of how the season was going, but also the treatment of Bernadeschi. But I gotta say this.
With an Italian accent, by the way.
If Lorenzo and Federico don't start performing, you gotta just use your eyes a little bit and realize where the problem is. I hope they turn things around, but at the end of the day, Lorenzo's been injured a lot. He's 9 goals in 24 games. Federico, if you look at his past, he's not really relied upon to score a lot of goals. You look at his time with Juventus, but either way, 11 goals in 32 games, like, they're going to have to pick it up a little bit here. They're going to have to pick it up. Federico had a lot of chances in that first half and couldn't find the back of the net against New England Revolution. But this is all I'm saying is you as players have every right to say, I don't like this coach and I don't feel like I'm working and I'm jiving with him. But just understand that once the coach is gone, and that was the reason why you gave as to why you're not performing.
Agreed.
That obstacle's now out of the way.
Agreed. Specifically as well for Bernadeschi because he's a guy that has to come in, and before you could see that he wasn't vibing with Bob. Whoever's coming in next, we know who's coming in next.
Let's talk about that, shall we?
Whoever's coming in next, I think they just need to have a nice big barbecue. Just lay it all out, okay? If you guys need someone to cook, I know someone who could cook really well. That's Andy Petrillo. You can go have the potato salad, whatever you want to get. Mm-hmm. They need to just get on the same page. No tears, no superstar, not the Italians and the young guys. Just get TFC. If you wear the badge, get everyone on the same page. Try to get the most out of these guys.
Can Terry Dunfield do that? That's right. Former, because I'm assuming it's going to be former now. Former One Soccer analyst is now the interim head coach of Toronto FC. This, in some ways, you know, you're kind of looking at going, oh, they kind of came out of left field. But I guess in other ways, it doesn't surprise me. Only because Bill Manning has been very vocal as well in saying that, you know, working towards the 2026 World Cup, he made it his mission to bring as many Canadians on board as well, Canadian national team players. He really wanted to build towards a home World Cup. Right. This is why we have the likes of Richie Larea, Marc-Anthony Kaye, Jonathan Osorio. Like, he was really making an effort as well to kind of keep a core of Canadian nationals. Terry Dunfield has 14 caps for Canada. Terry Dunfield is a former Red. He played for Toronto FC for a few years. He's the U17 coach right now in their academy, and he's been named on an interim basis. It just doesn't surprise me that he would name somebody who is already in their academy, but is a former player, understands the culture with Toronto FC, and also represented Canada on the international stage. This doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't. It makes sense from that standpoint in terms of someone who knows the cultures and the fabric of the culture, played for the Reds. I've been around the U17, but let's talk about that jump. Because seeing Terry around, coaching U17s, guys that aspire to play professionally, different gravy when you're with the big dogs, when you're looking at Bernadeschi and Insigne. And also this TFC side that has been struggling. It's been dour for a while. So I'm curious. I'd love to pick Terry's brain about what is his game plan going in. Are you going to, because he, for me, when I talk to him, is just very light, jovial. He's not coming in laying down the law, but we might need someone if this TFC team is going to be successful. And I think the ultimate goal is making playoffs and kind of going for a run. You need someone to maybe lay down the law. Are you going to have someone on your coaching staff do that and you be the nice guy? Are you going to be the bad cop? Are you going to have a bit of a blend? I'm just curious because you need some reaction now. You can't wait a month. TFC needs to turn it around now. So I'm wondering what Terry's going to do with that.
Well, we know that Bill Manning will be giving a presser he's going to actually be giving one on Tuesday. And that's the question I have. Have you named Terry an interim coach because you just want to get through the rest of the season? Or do you fully believe this is somebody who's going to come on in and turn things around? Like, what is the objective here? I would like to think that it's about turning things around. So now we'll see what Terry can do. You're right. It's always a good cop, bad cop. And it's about, again, it's about managing. For me, it's about managing the two Italians. They are the highest paid players. They are the superstars. They are the ones, although Lorenzo has said that he has been happy. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. That's what he has said publicly. He's actually been okay with Bob. If the player's going to say it, the player's going to say it. Federico's been the most vocal at not being happy. You have to turn things around for them.
But you know what the interesting part is, Trills, about being the interim manager? You're caught in that in-between stage. Yeah, maybe they're not thinking about a long-term future with you, but what if TFC and what if Terry has a winning record and starts getting the most out of players? And that's what you think with a manager. If he can do that, then Bill Manning, people that are up top in the office saying, hey, well, Terry's done a good job. It's that nice sweet spot. If you go in, you're a manager and you're a head coach, immediately there has to be product. Interim, it's like, just make it a bit better than it was before. Show us a bit of hope. So if Terry can do that, maybe this is a permanent thing. I'm throwing it out there. If you have a good winning season, get TFC to playoffs, because we talked about this in the beginning of the season. Can TFC make playoffs? Do they have enough depth within this team? Is the balance right? All these things. But if you could see a winning record, I'm like, well, why not?
Well, that's the thing. We'll have to wait and see. That's the beauty of, I guess, having the interim tag attached to head coach. But I wonder if Toronto FC's done. I don't know if, so we keep talking about making the Italians happy, finding a way to turn things around for them. But with this change in coach, do you think Bill Manning is also turning around going, maybe we should still try and trade one? Like, maybe he's also looking at the room and realizing more change needs to be made. The coach, it wasn't a winning record. To your point, we said this, when you lose the players, whether you're a good guy or not, whether you're a good coach or not, it doesn't matter. If you've lost the players, you've lost the players. But I wonder if Bill Manning is also looking at that room going, you know what? You've also been a problem, and you've also been a problem. And by the way, we need to move guys if we want to keep Richie Larea.
Hello.
Hi.
He's probably, for me, the most important player.
We need to talk more. I know TFC. We've been mentioning this. We need to talk more about this. TFC ain't got no money. They ain't got no money. How are you going to keep Richie Larea if you ain't got no money? So you have to make moves. So I just wonder, do you think they're done, or do you think this is it?
What I'll say is they're on the thinnest possible ice there is. So thin that if you're walking on it, there's still like you feel a little water, you feel a little puddle.
Cracking.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Okay, it's silly. I don't know why I ever did that about the pond by my house. Anyways.
Because it's fun.
It is fun.
Daring.
It's just like, but like if you actually go through, you're finished. Anyways. But they're on the thinnest ice because now it's like Bob's gone. You're looking at the Italians that have so much money. I don't want to get into it, but much money.
But that matters in sports.
100%.
You always get judged by your contract, whether you like it or not. Yes.
So they have to come clutch. This is the time. And I want to see what Terry can get out of them, if it can work out.
We could go on and on forever because this has just been a saga, right? Because these are also Lorenzo Insigne, highest paid player in MLS history. And I just don't know if we're going to be having a conversation down the road of, biggest bust ever in MLS as well. That's why this is such an intriguing topic. But I do want to turn our attention back to reflecting on CONCACAF Nation. Nations League because the Canadian team is going to be back in action with the Gold Cup. But now that we've had about a week to digest this, what have you been thinking this past week about the loss to the Americans in the final?
A few things come to mind. I think I'll focus on the positive first. Expectations that are around this side. Canadian soccer. You're looking at the names that we have, the Davies, the David, the Land, people say golden generation, but the expectation, watching the game against the Americans, you told me 10 years ago we lost 2-0 in the finals to the Americans. I'd say, okay, we made it to the finals. Now it's like we didn't run them, we didn't go down swinging, we didn't score. These are like expectations that are around the side. I think everything we're hearing in the media, we'll talk about a bit later with John Herdman as well, but it's about expectations because this group is that good. But you were there, Andy. Tell me what you were smelling the sweat. You were on the sideline. What's going on with you? What has stuck with you since the match and until now?
The Canadians didn't perform. It's as simple as that. I was shocked when I saw, like, even the way it started, you could feel the nerves a little bit, sure. I mean, it's a big game. And as much as, you know, these are professionals and they try to put things out of their mind, it was still a very heavy narrative. 23 years and you're going for your first trophy. They didn't play the way we've come to know them. And I know there's going to be a lot of debate on whether or not the players themselves just didn't show up or did Herdman put them in a situation that was not conducive to them being the best that they could be, right? So we can sit and talk lineup and tactics and everything, but it felt off. The whole night felt completely off, and the Americans were just, I mean, they were coming in waves, especially in that first half. And after the Canadians went down 2-0, you know, we all saw Milan Borjan go to the center pitch, he rallied the troops, whatever, but there were a couple guys that just kind of went out, they were frustrated,
yeah,
right? So a couple guys, like even Davies, like they just kind of went out, and you could already sense the frustration. And yeah, like Tajon Buchanan ended up coming on in the second half, right? So we do have questions. Why didn't he come on a little bit earlier? I don't know. I think that's where, and I keep going back to this because I loved it. And I know, you know, Bev Priestman comes from the school of Herdman. So they always use the word brave. Be brave. Bev Priestman was brave at the Olympics. When things weren't working out in that first half, boom, 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 substitutions, right? Not messing around. They go and they win gold. I wonder if boom, 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 things needed to be made a little bit faster as well in that Nations League final, because it was pretty clear early on things weren't going to plan. But to your point, overall, the expectations have been raised. And I know in the beginning, players, the coach, you're going to be stung and you're going to be very upset and it's going to be an us versus them, because why is everyone attacking us? And we actually thought we did well. And what's going on here? And be kind. And do you know what Herdman's done for this program? Of course, and we're going to get to that. But at the same time, it's an honor to know that your country is so upset because they love you that much and they do believe you're good enough. That's the thing. They believe you're good enough. So almost take that as a compliment that people are so upset.
That's where we want to be.
Yeah.
If you want to be a football nation, this is a country that just qualified for a World Cup. Like, the pressure is a part of the business now. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to clarify. I'm not saying that it's always going to be linear and that you're going to go and win and dominate every game, but the expectation to be in every game, to show up, to be on the same page, I think that's there. I think that needs to be there. So I think looking at the final, that's probably what hit me the most is like, yeah, there is probably some tactical errors that you'll always get judged by. The only time a coach doesn't get judged by their tactics is when they win. When they lose, you look straight at the coach.
Yeah.
There are so many things you should have done differently. Oh, why didn't you do this? Even as a coach, I am sure that you're like, yeah, maybe I could have changed that, changed this. It's a lot to happen. We're watching him and he's watching that, the game going on. But it's just different. We can look at things and say, oh, well, that's so easy to do. But in his shoes, it's very difficult.
Sure.
But the expectation for this team, it's bigger than it's ever been. And rightfully so, because they have the quality to do it.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, we're all about tactics when we're sitting on our couch. I should have done that.
He should be inverted. Play it down the side. But there's things that were glaring that showed up.
Yes.
One in particular, starting the game, I think the U.S. adjusted their game plan and didn't want to. They knew that Canada had so much pace going in behind. That wasn't working. I think Canada needs to figure out, hey, if something's not working, you got to switch it up quickly. You can't wait 40 minutes.
You really can't. And of course, there's a lot of conversation being had about John Herdman's post-game comments. And we know the saga, the continued labor dispute between the players and Canada Soccer. And obviously, he wanted to bring up again, like, we got to get serious here. If, you know, we're going to try and win this World Cup in 2026. He talked about the length of the camp, the funding of the program. But it's interesting because this is where the two sides also need to be in lockstep. And by the two sides, I mean the men's and the women's team. Because after those comments, I don't remember who, but somebody obviously went and asked Christine St. Clair, what did you make of John Herdman's comments? And she was like, yeah, we the women are asking for that as well. So you have to almost, I get what Herdman's saying, but when you are a federation, we have said this over and over again, where you don't have money, where does he think it's going to come from? You're not going to take it from the women. Women have put their foot down now. You're not taking it from the youth programs. That's what they said they're fighting for. So where do you think it's going to come from?
Manna from heaven.
I mean, listen, we all wish we had that money tree in our backyard, right? So I guess you, at some point, you have to just look at the federation. You have to look at what you have. I'm not saying excuses. Be better. Find ways, right, to make your coaches happy and make your players happy, of course. But this is also the reality they're dealing with. We need to stop with the comparisons with the Americans, because we are not the size of that country. We don't have the money of that country. And quite frankly, the money hasn't been brought in because the teams haven't performed at the level that the American men and women have, right? So stop. Like, they literally brought in gajillions of dollars. They even posted a couple million dollar loss, but yet they're still making millions, right? It's just, it's ridiculous. So stop it. Cause to me, that's a comparison that's apples and oranges.
Sorry, you have more to say?
No. I could, but...
No, I know. I didn't want to... I'm always, like, looking at... I'm like, she's going to take a breath. Now's the time. Now's the time to do it. For me, it's... The cry I understand from Herdman. Yes, Canada, we want to be a football nation. We need to pump in money into the organization. Cool. The thing that was not cool was the timing. Mm. Look, this was a momentous occasion. Everyone, I told people that don't watch soccer, watch Canada. This is a nice side. Get behind them. And then you go and just like the balloon was deflated. Address that. Address those issues. I don't think that's the time to be addressing everything else that's going on with the federation.
Because it's finger pointing.
Exactly.
As I just point my
at that point,
at you.
You're like, yeah. You. At that point, you have to take onus and ownership for what you can control or what you could have controlled the hours before. So for me, pointing out glaring issues in the federation that people know, I don't know. That's rubbish. Focus on the game. Focus on the moments. If you felt that Canada played the best that they could have played and that your boys did everything, then say that. That's fine. But if you feel like there are errors or areas where you could have done better, you have to address that too.
Well, and I mean, he also had, I mean, Phil Neville, Richard Shaw, Rian Wilkinson, like the federation ponied up and brought in three new coaches for you too. Like, there's just certain things where it didn't sit well with me either.
Yeah.
Because we know there are problems. I'm not saying there aren't. But at the same time, I was like, but you were also given coaches that you wanted to help you prep for this. I was at training, you know, a couple times that week, and I saw they were good training sessions. They were hard training sessions.
You should have joined.
Guys felt good. I am not... In that desert sun, that is a hard no.
I would God pay money to see you do two touch with the umbrella over you and just like still keep the shade, but just get on the pitch.
I will say this. I mean, those guys training in that weather, there was a lineup. I thought there was gonna be fights to get into the ice tub because they had the two ice tubs set up. Those guys were nosediving into that. They were like, move out the way. It was hot. I don't know. I looked at, you're right. I think the timing more than anything, because that's not to say that those aren't issues. But then I could also look at it and I say, I think a lot more people respect when you just talk about the game in that moment.
Yes.
Talk about other things afterwards. But like, again, you also had three new coaches that came on board. Like, I feel the federation is still trying to help you the best that they can at the moment. And it didn't work out.
Agreed.
It didn't work out.
Now, looking forward into the Gold Cup, because the Gold Cup is now.
Yeah.
Nations League is over, lost in the finals. Okay. Does Herdman have something to prove?
Yes. And I think the question is, what is it that you think he has to prove? So does he have to prove that he can get a trophy? And I know a lot of people right away are going to start saying, but he doesn't have David. Like, we're also going to go down the list of the guys he doesn't have with him. But there still is going to be a camp that wants to see if he can cross the finish line with this team. Because, you know, if this country has been taking steps and if this country has depth, let's see it. But there also is going to be another camp that says, well, we want to see if you can prove that you can play these younger guys, show yourself what you have, show the country what you have. Because if this is all about preparation for 2026, then who are these young guys in the system who you're going to be looking at in the next 2.5 years, right? So what is it that you're, so what is it that you think he has to prove? Does he have to prove by winning a trophy, or does he have to prove by being competitive, by but playing the young guys more, the new guys more?
I think he has to prove that he can get the balance right. I think most people, when I'm going to 7-Eleven and getting my candy and my slushies, people are talking about Herdman not getting those moments right. World Cup being one of them, against Croatia, playing two in the midfield. Then last weekend against the U.S., not getting that game right. Should Tejan have started or come off the bench after it was 2-0? Whatever, all these little moments that end up being big moments. I think now you have 7-8 top players that you've taken to Qatar that you can depend on, and you have a lot of new young players coming in. It's about getting that balance right. Which players to play at a certain time? Who do you mesh and mix together? Get that blend right. The tactics. Do you modify things? Are you playing 4 in the back, 3 in the back? I think this is a big tournament for Herdman. Yes, it's a big tournament for guys coming in to show that they could maybe be a part of the squad moving forward. But I think it's for him and his tactics. And I praise Herdman so much about the brotherhood that he brought into this camp, because that is huge. But I think that's something you build off of. Now it's the next bit, mm-hmm. is the tactics. How do you manage these superstars in some respect, like the Eustachios? I know David and Davies aren't there this time, but how do you manage those players, and how do you bring in the up and coming? How do you get the most? And that's how I judge a manager. How do you get the most out of the new young players that are playing for Canada for the first time and you're tried and true? You have to get them all on the same page in a short time. If you can do that, I could see this team going to the semifinals. And for me, that's what I cap off as success. Is yeah, you should make it out of the group. Going to quarterfinals, you're probably playing US or Jamaica, but got to get to a semifinals. And then hopefully a final.
It's all about progress at the end of the day, right? It's all about progress. And to your point that the coach is getting the best out of the players. And we know that in sports, right, there's the sayings. You're only as good as your last shift, your last play, your last game. Herdman has done incredible things for this program.
Agreed.
Nobody's ever going to take that away from him. We were on that ride.
Yes.
From day one, we covered the first game to qualify for Qatar. He did incredible things, brought the best out of these players. No one can take that away from him. And no one can deny that. If you are, you're foolish. He is incredible what he has done for the program. But in the world of sports, it's what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. And it's about moving on, which is why a lot of people go back to, wasn't a good World Cup. Right? And even Herdman himself has said, we didn't hit a lot of the points that we wanted to hit. Yes, you got your first goal, right, at the Men's World Cup. But other than that, there was not your first result. And he was not pleased, obviously, with how certain games went. Players themselves, coach themselves has said that. Now, you know, you make the Final Four and you fall flat against a team. Not only have you beaten, but you've just been competitive against. And again, I just feel like you just kind of knew they weren't in it, which was unfortunate. So it's what have you done for me lately? That is just how the world of sports works. We know this. But when it comes to the players, to me, and when I see progress, and when Herdman is constantly talking about FIFA World Cup 2026, right? You can sit and say our federation needs to get serious about money and development and camps. That's great. But now I want to see how you're getting serious on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Are you going to play the guys that are probably going to be your guys for 2026? So I'm curious to see if Dane St. Clair is going to be the goalkeeper of this tournament. I want to see if Dane St. Clair is going to be the goalkeeper of this tournament, because that to me will tell me Herdman means business. Herdman also, if he's going to do that, got to show respect to Milan Borjan. He's been a warrior for this program. He's shown up when nobody else, you know, a lot of other people didn't want to show up. He's shown up. And he was a stallion during qualifying.
He was.
So you owe him the respect to have that conversation. But if you're going to be serious about 2026, I need to see that fresh blood. Dane St. Clair's ready. He's a regular starter. And I want to see Dominic Sador. I also want to see what you can do on that back line. I want to see the depth there.
McGraw is a name. I think also, too, Liam Miller. I want to see. There's been talks about his quality. And maybe it's been overshadowed by bigger names in Canada camp. But now this is the time. Eustachio, you just love to see him play. But like Lachuri, like all these players, this is that moment. And I said, people have asked, what are the expectations for me? Yes, I could talk about where Canada should go and end up. But it's also about how you wear that badge. Are you proud? I want to see that in all that you're doing. Tackles, everything. Mm-hmm. Run, like your recovery runs going forward, all of that. Show that you want to be playing in the World Cup in 2026.
Because that's what it is. We can talk about these tournaments, the here and now. Of course, we want to see them do well and we want to see them win. But all paths lead to the 2026 World Cup as my hand just wormed towards you. High five. Yeah. That's what we call one nation here on One Soccer. That's Wills. I'm Trills. Peace out.